book way in the Bible. And there are a few verses which I'm going to read with you if you go into your Bible, which are not on the outline, just to give you kind of to get going. I force you to open your Bible, let me say it this way. When I hear those pages, that's a privilege. So open your Bible to 1 Peter, and we're going to read a few scripture verses in chapter 1, then we jump to chapter 3, and then we jump to chapter 4, and that's where we're going to end up in 4 and 5. The title of the sermon is very simple, The Fear Factory. How many of you know that the Bible is full of it, from the beginning to the end, where God speaks to his people, do not fear, do not fear, do not fear. You need to look in the mirror every morning when you get up and say to yourselves, there is nothing God allows to happen in my life today that would even give the hint that I should be living by fear. You have to make sure that you're doing that, especially in the time you're living in. You need to make sure. Fear is everywhere. And fear is a spirit, as the Bible says, and it's not from God. It's an enemy that's making us think differently than what God told us to think. Okay? So, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 7. Remind yourselves of these things. If you haven't done it, highlight it, underline it, or make a note. These are important verses God speaks to you this morning. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to what? A living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Listen, before we go to the last two verses, did you recognize that God has made sure that we are guarded? We are guarded. We are under his supervision, under his protection. We are guarded through faith. We have to trust him for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith. Do you know why God allows these trials? Do you know why God allows all these things to happen around us? So that our faith in the Lord Jesus being tested, if it's genuine or not. And when it's genuine, it is more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found the result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. If that would not encourage you and jump for joy, I don't know what does it. Go quickly to chapter 3, verses 13 to 17. Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? Mark that, zealous for what is good. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. Holy means simply separate from what you are going through, separate, entirely separate from this world. Holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. Let's go to chapter 4, verses 7 to 11. With respect to this, They are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery and to malign you. It's called modern day shaming, correct? Chapter 4, verse 4. That's what I wanted to give you first before I go to 7. Because they are surprised when you are not following them and not caving in. But they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is why the gospel was preached. Even to those who are dead, that though judged in the flesh the way people are, they might live in the spirit the way God does. Listen, the end of all things is at hand. I want you to know, he wrote that 2,000 years ago. Therefore be self-controlled, sober-minded, for the sake of your prayers. I want to stop there just for a second. Self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. In other words, control the way you pray. Sober-minded. Make sure you think that through it. Repetitious prayers over and over are not the prayers God wants to hear from his children. Pray prayers that are infused by the power of the Holy Spirit that touches heaven, and then you see results on earth. The church right now is being seduced into powerful meetings to pray, and I hear constantly repetitious prayers. We are not AIs. We are not robots. We are children of the living God, made in the image of God, who have a voice to speak and a mind to think. And when we go to God Almighty, let our hearts be poured out and not repeating somebody else's prayers. We're speaking to our Heavenly Father for heaven's sake. This is what Peter says. When you are going to these things, make sure you are being sober-minded. Think things through it. He said, have the discipline to do it. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers what? A multitude of sins. That simply means when you have a genuine love for people and they attack you, don't worry about it, just cover it, keep on going. God takes care of it. So show hospitality, underline that. This is what the enemy right now is working on, that you cannot show hospitality. You can't get together. You can't go to Thanksgiving. Family members can't meet. Listen, that's from the pit of hell. That has nothing to do with health. That has something to do with tyrannical regulations, so you and I cannot enjoy what God has given us to get together and celebrate and be thankful for what God is doing. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Then he goes on in verse 11, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, and whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Some years ago, the late Nobel Prize winner, Dr. Albert Schweitzer, just because Schweitzer doesn't mean Swiss, he was actually a French-born doctor. He was asked a question by a reporter, doctor, what's wrong with man today? That question was asked 60 years ago. The great doctor was silent a moment, and then he said, want to read it? That was already a problem 60 years ago, so it's not a new one. People don't think. Thinking is a gift given by God for you and me to use discernment when we see or hear things. It has to go through our mind. How many would have to say, What we hear these days is not unlike what Peter heard at the end of the Roman Empire, an empire that lived for 500 years, an empire who was the strongest at that time. There was nobody equal in the world, an empire who destroyed itself from within because people refused to think. They saw things going on, but they were not willing to speak up what truth is all about. That's why Peter said, when you see something good, and you say what is good, and you focus on what is good, and somebody shames you or wants to put you into a category with a label on it, he said, don't go to a lower degree. Don't go there. Don't let them put you into fear. You know what's right, and you know what's wrong. Anyone who calls evil good and good evil, evil will not depart from them. I hear some very powerful, influential preachers these days all of a sudden call evil good. Stay away from them. Don't listen to them. They're going to lead the church astray. When you see evil, call it evil. When you see good, call it good. The sad part is we live in a world where 90% of what's coming our way is not good. And we have to sort these things out. This is a very, very crucial moment. And I want to prepare you for what I'm going to say. This morning I'm going to flip another page. I have over the last 4 months give you a lot of historical accounts. This is nothing new what we are going through. This has been well prepared. That has snuck into the United States of America because we're the only bastion where the freedom we have is still available. But it's not long available if we are not thinking. It can fade just like this. In 2015, that's 5 years ago, R. Nelson Nash, the founder of the Nelson Nash Institute, wrote an article. You probably don't know him. These are financial people. These are people from the international financing world. They know what's going on. By the way, if you ever want to know what's going on today, follow the money. It's all about money. He wrote an article called How Did Governments Build a Trap to Enslave People Financially? How did they do it? He says this. Surely by this time in your life, you have a deep-seated feeling that there is something fundamentally wrong in the financial world today. Remember, that's 2015. There is debt of unbelievable proportions. There is confused thinking that results in irrational behavior as a matter of course. We are treated to a plethora of information daily to substantiate this truth. He goes on to say, as a result of all this, I see a lot of despair and anguish expressed by a large segment of our population. Don't you see that today? He goes on to say, what a mess we are in. What are they going to do about it? We need to get the right folks in the government offices. Get out and vote. That is our only hope. Of course, there is another large faction that is totally consumed with apathy. They do not have a clue as to what has happened and what is currently happening. What happened to cause this deplorable situation? These things just don't happen by chance. There is always an underlying cause. See that? There is always an underlying cause. And the question there obviously is, connected with what Peter is just telling us, people don't think and look for the underlying cause. Let me say it this way. If you have a problem, whatever the problem is you encounter, you obviously want to fix the problem. Have you ever seen a problem in your life and you tried to fix it and it didn't work? Yeah, good. So that is what Peter is telling us. We are trying to fix a problem. We see the problem, but we never think about what's the underlying cause that caused the problem in the first place. I always say, marriages don't fall apart by accident. There's an underlying cause which creeps in there and it's going to work its way through it like weeds and eventually comes to the surface, and we want to quickly have, Pastor, can you give me advice? What have you done the last 5, 10 years? Have you seen the problem, and you never went to God about it? See, there's an underlying cause, but we need to think, we need to be mindful and watchful. Chuck Swindoll, in his study Bible about 1 Peter, he says this. Actually, he's talking about the fifth chapter primarily, but it's good to hear what he says. He said, please be careful about identifying every ache and pain and problem you encounter as being satanic in origin. You know, the devil is after me. When every difficulty we encounter is regarded as a demonic attack, it's a form of sickness, not a sign of maturity. Ouch. At the same time, we should note not to be flippant about our adversary. We should stay alert in readiness, but not in fear. Peter tells us to stand firm against the devil. I see nothing of fear in those words. Christian, don't turn scared of the enemy, but don't play with him either. I would like to put that into the modern context. Don't be scared of the enemy that bombards you every day with fake news, but don't you dare play with it. Some of you need to be extremely careful. You may still listen to a lot of garbage just to find out what the garbage is all about. But the Bible reminds me not to do that. Focus primarily on the truth, because the truth will always set you free from those demonic attacks. You cannot put in 50-50 and think you're going to get 90-10 out of it. If you're going to fill yourselves with that stuff, Peter gives us very good advice. Chuck Swindoll gives us very good advice. He's telling us that we should cast all our cares upon Jesus Christ, the only one who can lead us through all these troubled times. Anxiety, by the way, is not something Christians should live by, period. I hear throughout the week people tell me, how can you live the way you do? I said, I'm so glad you asked. Always have an answer for the hope that is in you. My hope is not in political solutions. My hope is not in economic solutions. I would like to have them all done. My hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's got that under his control. I can get up every morning. I told my wife, I said, I get up every morning and within 10 minutes talking to the Lord, my spirit rises. Can't help it. I have a good day after that. Oh, I listen to some stuff. Probably shouldn't listen to. But I tell you why I listen to. Because I know you do. And in order to figure out how you think and how fear got a hold of you, I need to find out, what is this fear factory producing every day? Remember, in today's world, fear is a commodity. Fear is a commodity. Why? It's being sold. It's being sold. And you're paying dearly for it. You cannot sleep. Those who produce the garbage, they don't care. They sell you a pill. They own the manufacturer who sells you the pill. Now, that's good business. You have anxiety? You go to the psychiatrist? He makes a prescription for you. The one who put the fear in you sells you the pill. You know, this is a mechanism that makes the rich richer and you and me poorer. There are actually in this world two primary goals, people in power working on it. One of them is a physical goal, which you can observe. We observe that every day. There's a small group, what we call elites, super rich oligarchs, who own about everything. Have you recognized lately? If you don't agree with them, they just, you know, make you disappear. The spiritual goal, that's the second goal, there's a spiritual goal behind it, which is being reached one day by God's arch enemy, because we know the Bible tells us so.
He is interested in not owning anything. People always think the devil wants to own anything on this earth. He wants to own nothing. He already knows that he can't get his hands on that that belongs to God. He knows that. The only thing he's after is are all those creatures who inhabit this planet called human beings, because they're made in God's image. He can't stand them. His ultimate goal is to destroy every one of us with every possible means. That's what he's after. That's a spiritual goal. And he will succeed with 2/3, which he will get according to the Bible. 1/3 will stand. 2/3. Do a little calculation. Let's push the numbers to 9 billion because some of you are mathematically challenged. So you divide that by 3. Correct? And then you multiply by 2. So, okay, so 6 billion are gone. 6 billion people? Do you know how many numbers, how big a number that is? In the United States, we have about 350 million people living, maybe? Maybe 400,000, I don't know. Depends who you count. According to what they, for the ones they voted, we have 700 million here. You know? I don't know anybody knows nothing, looks like it. One thing we need to understand, these are two warfares, a spiritual and a physical. And you know what? Physical warfare is extremely expensive. So have you ever wondered, how are they going to finance all these wars around the world? Who's going to pay for all this? For those who look for a place to start, to get the answer, maybe to start with the lives of a very preeminent member of the elite. He's in the background. You don't hear his name. His name is Rothschild, Meyer Amschel Rothschild. Financial banker, obviously. This is his famous word, his famous saying. He said, give me control of a nation's money and I care not who makes the laws. End of quote. Let me interpret that for you. Everything is for sale. I make the laws of every nation by paying those who make the laws. Well, we have a modern word for that called lobbyists. If you want to know where the biggest nest of lobbyists is, I don't have to tell you. We have money in our pocket. And we call it the almighty dollar, correct? And then you read on the money, if you look at it, that money actually doesn't belong to you. That's actually belonging to the Federal Reserve Bank, correct? It just is given to you as a token that you can trade things. But it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the one who printed it. So, I'm going to quickly, all of you probably have heard that. The Federal Reserve System is the driving force. But every big country has its own Federal Reserve. Who is the founder of that stuff? It's not you. It's not the United States of America. It's actually a man by the name of Paul Warburg. W-A-R-B-U-R-G. He's a German-born banker. You're probably aware of how the central bank idea was made into law in the Congress in late December when everybody was celebrating Christmas, of all places, in 1913. And the Americans were not thinking. A careful study of history, which you should do, will recognize that we have been systematically lied to over all these years. They always said the Federal Reserve is being put in place for our benefit. Really? Do you really think international bankers put something together for our benefit? That's an oxymoron. An Austrian economist by the name of Lord Maynard Keynes wrote a book he publishes in 1936. And the title of the book is The General Theory of Employment, Interest, and Money. It's the very book that is used as a blueprint, like for Antifa, the Marxist Manifesto, the same thing. This is the manifesto of the international bankers. I give you one little paragraph out of his book, John Maynard Keynes. He said, "The ideas of economists and political philosophers, both when they are right and when they are wrong, are more powerful than is commonly understood. Indeed, the world is ruled by the little else, by little else." Now remember, it doesn't matter if they're right or wrong. Practical men, that's you and me, that's another word of saying deplorable, who believe themselves to be quite exempt from any intellectual influences are usually slaves of some defunct economist. It doesn't matter if they're right or wrong. How many times was Dr. Fauci right? How many times was he wrong? It doesn't matter. People don't think. It doesn't matter. How many times are politicians right? How many times they're wrong? Just follow the science doesn't do it for me. As a matter of fact, there's an interesting movement going on right now in the world, around the world. The scientists are start speaking up. They're being silenced by the mass media. Tens of thousands of scientists say, "Stop that nonsense, Mr. Fauci. You are making science look stupid. What you're doing is not science. We are true scientists." But nobody wants to listen. And the deplorables don't think. If I remember, last time that was used was in 2016, when Hillary Clinton, that great thinker, called all of us in the middle of America deplorables. Let me explain how it works in reality. Pretty simple. Now listen carefully. Every action that is proposed by these people in power is a fear factory. Let me say it again. Every action that is proposed by those in political, religious, and economic powers, or now health, is a fear factory. Goes something like this. We got a major problem. If we are not taking immediate action, millions will die. That's a fear statement. What do people do? Whatever you do, make sure this is not going to happen. And the deplorables go for it. There is not a single emergency in the world that should be used to overrule the laws of the land at any given time. Because once you let it go, it will never come back. 9/11, if we are not going to take care of that problem and we go to war everywhere we want to go to war, we are not going to have the freedom we want. Next time you went to the airport, they patted you down. There were machines going beep, 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 beep. And you couldn't board the plane unless you had clearance, correct? I used to fly in this world, believe it or not, where you could still run to the airplane when the airplane was still on the tarmac and the pilot had the engine going, and if you came late, they opened the door for you. Welcome. Try that today. Pew! There's a guy going, take him down. We have lost so much because fear. Fear. They're manufacturing so much fear. Now, we shouldn't have any Thanksgiving dinner. By the way, have your Thanksgiving dinner, okay? Some of you maybe invite finally some of your family members which you wouldn't like to have on the planet living any longer anyway. That will be the opportunity, you know. So do something, but have Thanksgiving. There's no reason for anybody to shut anything down. Church is going along. Like Stalin said, useful idiots. You're going to accomplish these things. When did American people stand up? Shutting down everything? Really? They can only accomplish that when you believe the lie, which puts fear in you. Otherwise, they can't do it. Could you imagine 90% of the American people go on the street and say, we don't care what you say, Mr. Whatever. We are going to live a normal life. Oh, by the way, if you don't like it, we have some methods to take care of you. I can't say that because, you know, it's no good. There is a vision of those rulers in the world. They have worked on it for since Satan took the dominion away from Adam and Eve by default to rule over mankind. That vision is driven by influential people. I give you one specific. Every January, there's a meeting end of January in Davos, in my home country, where I was born in Davos, Switzerland. That's way up in the mountains. It's a place for the rich and famous. And they set the agenda of the world, how they're going to get us to a place where we are all slaves. It's called the World Economic Forum. And I know we look at all this kind of thing, these different groups, you know, I don't even want to mention it. But listen, these are all things that put you on a rabbit trail. All these different groups, whatever the groups are, they put you on a rabbit trail so you don't focus on the real deal. This World Economic Forum is annually meeting. There come international business people get there, political leaders, economists, high-profile individuals, also called billionaires, and they discuss global issues, so they say. They don't discuss global issues. They put an agenda into place. The CEO of that is a man by the name of Klaus Schwab. Ever heard of him? That's not Schwab Banking, Klaus Schwab. He's the main driving force behind it. And he is the one who coined the Great Reset phrase. That's a world economic term. Which means a tectonic shift that intends to change how we live, work, and interact with each other. That's the Great Reset. So who is this Klaus Schwab? Well, he's born in Ravensburg in 1938. So he's about ready to die, hopefully. Klaus Schwab is a child of Adolf Hitler's Germany. So in order for you not to miss it, we put it up for you. For those of you who don't know, that was a police state regime built on fear and violence, on brainwashing, control, propaganda and lies, and on industrialism and eugenics, on dehumanization, disinfection, which means annihilating Jews and a lot of Christians, on a chilling and grandiose vision of a new order that would last 1,000 years. We all know that history. I've taught you that over and over and over again. Klaus Schwab is a child, and his parents trained him very well. Schwab seems to have dedicated his life to reinventing that nightmare and to trying to turn it into a reality, not just for Germany, but the world, the whole world. By the way, that was Hitler's idea too. So, worse still, as his own words confirm time and time again, his technocratic fascist vision is also a twisted transhumanist one. He is financing, by the way, he's a multi-billionaire. He's financing transhumanism and a lot of other ugly things, which will merge humans with machines in curious mixes of digital and analog life. I just quoted him there. which will infect our bodies with smart dust. I just quoted him. That's what he said, smart dust. And in which the police will apparently be able to read our brains. That's what they are up to. You say, well, that is utopian. There's an organization that is made up of former editorial board members or highly regarded journalists in London. They used to work for The Guardian. The Guardian is a major newspaper in the British Commonwealth, printed in London. When they started warning of these kind of people and what's going on, they all got censored. Censoring is not a new thing. They got censored in the middle of the 20s. 14, 15. They decided that they will leave The Guardian and start an own printing company, which didn't work because they had to go digital because printing is extremely expensive. And since all the billionaires on the other side, you don't get that much money. So they started a new thing. It's called off-guardian.org. So I went there and looked at a few things about Klaus Schwab. Here's a few quotes from Klaus Schwab. And they take it from a speech Klaus Schwab gave last year. Here's one of them. The Off-Guardian said, he and his accomplices, that Klaus Schwab, are using the COVID-19 crisis to bypass democratic accountability. How many would have to say, yeah, be watching this? To override opposition, to accelerate their agenda, and to impose it on the rest of humankind against our will in what he terms a great reset. Let's go to the next one. I'll show you. These are his own words. Sooner than most anticipate, the works of professions as different as lawyers, financial analysts, doctors, journalists, accountants, insurance underwriters, or librarians may be partly or completely automated. That means they will all lose their jobs. So, Schwab predicts, as capabilities in this area improve, the temptation for law enforcement agencies and courts to use techniques to determine the likelihood of criminal activity, not that you've done it, just the likelihood, assess guilt, or even possibly retrieve memories directly from people's brains will increase. Even crossing a national border might one day involve a detailed brain scan to assess an individual's security risk. So you're a criminal never having done a crime. Simply, you are being checked what you're thinking and then be labeled as a terrorist because you had a thought that terrorism has been committed. And they say, oh, they got it in their brain. Let's put them in. Hitler developed that system called the thought police. He already had a lot of systems going. The mind-boggling innovations triggered by the fourth industrial revolution, from biotechnology to artificial intelligence, are redefining what it means to be human. This is where I quickly want to focus on. This man and the World Economic Forum is not so much after our assets. They want to redefine what it means to be a human being. I think God defined that thousands of years ago. In other words, they want to play God. Who do you think motivates such thinking and such actions? There's one arch enemy God has. These people are moved and shaped by an enemy in the spiritual realm to defy what God has said to be right, and say that's not sufficient, we're going to upgrade them, we have to make better human being. Whoever made that human being, this is no good. We have much better ideas. And you say, never thought that's possible. Oh yes, it's possible. It's mind-boggling, isn't it? He said in that speech three times how it is important to redo humans. Give you not. The future will challenge our understanding of what it means to be human, from both a biological and a social standpoint. This is why we have the identity politics right now. You decide biologically what you are. It's just making you aware that if a new administration goes into the White House, this is going to go on steroids. Here's another thing he said. These technologies will operate within our own biology. Listen to this. They will operate within our own biologies. That means there's something injected into our bodies that will change our biological nature and change how we interface with the world. They are capable of crossing the boundaries of body and mind, enhancing our physical abilities, and even having a lasting impact on life itself. Either extended, the ultimate goal is making eternal human beings bypassing God. A few weeks ago, Colin Todhunter wrote an outstanding article. He published it. This is what he said about these things and a lot of other things. The greatest reset entails a transformation of society resulting in permanent restrictions on fundamental liberties and mass surveillance as entire sectors are sacrificed to boost the monopoly and hegemony of pharmaceutical corporations, high-tech big data giants, Amazon, Google, major global chains, the digital payments sector, biotech concerns, etc. Using COVID-19, lockdowns and restrictions to push through this transformation, the Great Reset is being rolled out under a guise of a fourth industrial revolution. You're going to hear that word a lot coming up in the next months, in which all the enterprises are to be driven to bankruptcy or absorbed into monopolies, effectively shutting down huge sections of the pre-COVID economy. Economies are being restructured, and many jobs will be carried out by AI-driven machines. Case in point, there will be no airline industries anymore. We drive them into bankruptcies on purpose. There's something else coming. We'll look at that later. The jobless, and there will be many, could be placed on some kind of universal basic income. Have you ever heard that word? It's big in Europe. People lining up for it. They say, yeah, please. We would like to sit at home watching TV 24/7, do nothing, just send me the check. And half the debts, indebtedness, and bankruptcy on a massive scale is the deliberate result of lockdowns and restrictions. So they put you into those debts on purpose. Then they come to you and say, we write it off in a return for handing your assets to the state, or more precisely to the financial institution, helping to drive this great reset. This is how we're going to wipe out the debts. We get you out of a job, and when you have no job, you have no income. When you have no income, you can't pay your bills, and when you can't pay your bills, the bank would like to get some money from you. Correct? You can't pay, you forfeit the assets, don't worry about it. You get basic income. You can live, don't worry about it. We just write off all the debts. So the trillions of dollars, which student loans, car loans, mortgages have been accumulated, can easily be wiped off. You guys own absolutely nobody anything. And you get free electronic money into your new established blockchain account. You don't have to worry about it. We even tell you what kind of food you can eat, what's allowed to buy and what's not allowed to buy, because we only allow you to buy what is healthy according to our standards. Oh, by the way, we got upgrades for you. You don't have to worry about it. We promise you eternal life too. So don't give up yet. I got more. And we're not done with the sermon yet. I just want to give you something to think. How about that? Think. Okay. So here he goes on to say, that's Colin Todhunter. The World Economic Forum says the public will rent everything they require. It's in their outline for the new reset. We will rent everything. Stripping the right of ownership under the guise of sustainable consumption. Ever heard that? and saving the planet. Ever heard that? Of course, the tiny elite who rolled out this great reset will own everything. He goes on to say, the billionaire class who are pushing this agenda think they can own nature and all humans and can control both, whether through geoengineering, the atmosphere, for example, genetically modifying soil microbes, or doing a better job than nature by producing biosynthesized fake food in a lab. You probably have heard McDonald's will soon roll out hamburgers where there is no meat in it. It's actually lab-created food. Enjoy your meal. They think they can bring history to a close and reinvent the wheel by reshaping what it means to be human. And they think that they can achieve this by 2030. That's the new agenda. It is a cold, dystopian vision that wants to eradicate thousands of years of culture, tradition, and practices virtually overnight. That's why you have what's going on today. The Great Reset includes farmerless farms being manned by driverless machines, monitored by drones, and doused with chemicals to produce commodity crops from patented, that's genetic manufacturing there, seeds for industrial biomatter to be processed and constituted into something resembling food. What will happen to the farmers? The massive technocratic transformation currently envisaged regards humans as commodities. To be controlled and monitored just like the lifeless technological drones and artificial intelligence being promoted. He goes on to say, but do not worry. You will be propertyless and happy in your open prison of mass unemployment, state dependency, track and chip health passports, cashlessness, mass vaccination, and dehumanization. End of quote. Your heart is down on the floor, I can tell. Here's the thing. These movers and shakers have never seen the power of God's people when they storm heaven. This is not a new plan. I'm just telling you, this is not a new plan. Hitler had that plan. Stalin had that plan. Napoleon had that plan. Alexander the Great had that plan. Let's go back to Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar had that plan. And then we go all the way back to Nimrod. This is nothing new. How did people survive? Either people woke up or God said, enough is enough. Last time I read, I was this morning early, God is still in control. And by the way, God has a plan. I just show you what they have planned because you cannot win wars if you don't know your enemy. You need to know what the enemy has planned. And we need to know what God has planned. And then we align ourselves with what God has planned and the enemy's toast. The only way that such a thing can be implemented in the world is if people do not think. If people let it happen. This billionaire class needs to be come to the front for who they truly are. And quite frankly, they should for the rest of their life spend the time in prison because they use people as commodities and not as fellow human beings. Those people should have no power in this world. Now let me quickly come to 2020. We think, and some of you told me personally, that all is lost for America. Don't you dare think that way. It's never lost until you give up the fight. You never give up a fight. I'm sick to the stomach when I hear those preachers already saying, everything is done, let's just worship another guy. We don't worship any people. And we still demand that in the United States of America, things are done according to the law or not according to newspapers and social media tyrants. Let the law take care of itself. If God wants President Trump to go on vacation for 4 years or whatever, then God has spoken. But my prayer is, God, please, please. We're going to have to pray that God is going to give us favors. For every 4 years of favors, this agenda on that time is being pushed back and pushed back and pushed back and pushed back. We have a new generation has a right to live a life of freedom in the United States of America. And if we today don't stand up, they will not have that chance. They already voiced exactly what their plans are. Wake up, my friends. When I'm in my prayers, I sense there is something brewing, something good. There's something good brewing. I just don't know what it is. But let's go to Revelation, of all places. Wouldn't you like to stop in the last book of the Bible? Revelation 9, chapter 9. Good place to kick in. And I tell you this, by the time this is happening here, maybe some people don't agree with me, but by the time this is happening, we are at home. We are at home with the Lord. I don't know what your background is, but listen carefully. Don't you believe for a second that God's children go to the wrath God will pour upon this world? We are not appointed to wrath. That the dispensation of grace will come to an end when God takes us out. The only thing I ask God is to make sure that the chariot that picks me up is big enough for my wife and me. I'm looking for a fiery chariot. We want to go together, correct? Revelation chapter 9. Let's read this together. 11 verses. This is exciting news. And the fifth angel blew his trumpet, and I saw a star fall from heaven to earth. And he was given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit. A star is another word of an angelic being or an Elohim. He opened the shaft of the bottomless pit, and from the shaft rose smoke like the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened with the smoke from the shaft. Then from the smoke came locusts on the earth, and they were given power like the power of scorpions of the earth. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any green plant or any tree, but only those people who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They were allowed to torment them for 5 months, but not to kill them. And the torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings someone. And in those days, people will seek death and will not find it. They will long to die, but death will flee from them. Why? These are the people who have been modified. These are the people who have been upgraded. These are the people, the new humans they're making. And they are not original human beings. Jesus came to this earth to save the human race, not persons which people messed with and created. No salvation for them. Satan and his fallen angels tried that before the flood. They will do it again. Listen to this. In appearance, the locusts were like horses prepared for battle. On the heads were what looked like crowns of gold, their faces like human faces, their hair like women's hair, and their teeth like lion's teeth. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the noise of the wings was like the noise of many chariots with horses rushing into battle. They have tails and stings like scorpions, and the power to hurt people for 5 months is in their tails. By the way, these are all spiritual beings. They have a king over them. There's a king over them, the angel of the bottomless pit. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek he is called Apollyon. The word translated from any language means the great destroyer. Have you met that man before? in the Bible also called Satan. He will have one more way of getting after the people, but not when God's people hear. God will even in those days mark some to save them. And you and I need to know, if we know what the ultimate outcome is of those who do these things, read it in 9 of Revelation. They will be tormented to such an extent they seek to die. They think they got the perfect button where they can push and they are somewhere else on a different planet. It's not going to happen. God will have his day with them. And they will going to join that Apollyon in the bottomless pit for eternity. So, don't fear them. They think they have power. Their knowledge of technological advances was given to them by fallen Elohims to destroy the human race, which Satan can't stand. God has given us an entirely different power. It is the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't need upgrades. We don't need technological advances. We need the power of the Holy Spirit and have the sword of the Spirit and know it, how to use it, and there is absolutely nothing to fear. Don't you take an ounce of that manufactured fear of the world. Reject it and walk by faith. You have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. Thank you for opening our eyes. You do a lot of wonderful things in this world, Lord, through your people. You have never given up on anybody. You said you came to set the captives free. We are living proof. Once we were enslaved, once Satan used us as his property, no longer, Lord, because of what you have done. This morning, Lord, we want to thank you. Thank you for giving us eyes to see, ears to hear. The power of the Holy Spirit working in us. With the Apostle Paul, we can say, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Lord, we want to live like this. We want to be people without fear. We know our enemy, but we also know the hope we have in you, Lord. You are still in charge. You provide for us everything and more than what we have need for. You're so good. May during these dark days, Lord, may you shine brightly. May we be bold speaking, bold walking, bold living, bold thinking, all because of you, Lord. Thank you for everyone, Lord, you strengthened today. Sometimes we need to see the evil the enemy has planned. So we appreciate the plan you have for us. And we thank you, Lord, for that. This morning we rejoice. We want to bring glory and honor to you the way we live and the way we speak. We know this world may be shaken, but we are already in your kingdom. You said we are not of this world. We live in it, but not of it. Lord, because we are in your kingdom and we follow our King and Lord all the way until we're home. Thank you for strengthening us through your word every day. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people can say,
amen.
Amen and amen.